Hey, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Allison Dixon.
And we are going to get right into it. Allison, what is your hot take?
I think my hot take is AI is giving smaller companies the best opportunity I've seen in customer experience, but it's not why what you think, or not why you think that, not the common reason that you'd think.
Okay, I'm excited to talk about this because it feels like every other day I either have someone on the show who says, AI is not going to do anything. It's just going to be a flash in the pan. So, like, don't worry about it. Or AI is going to completely fundamentally change your business and we're all going to, like, live on the beach and live our best lives and AI is going to do all the work. So I would love to hear your perspective. Why do you think that AI is the competitive advantage small business has been waiting for?
So I think the key there is it's not why you think. I think that what you just said, where it's going to fundamentally change everything, it probably will. But I think if you're familiar at all with how technology typically works, or the cycle of, like, the hype cycle, right? I think we maybe have passed the peak of the hype cycle. But I think we're further out. We underestimate technology's impact in the short term or in the long term and overestimate the short term impact. So for me right now, what I'm seeing is bigger companies are slapping on AI to everything, and it's not ready. It's just not ready to be slapped on the way it's being slapped on. So for me right now, what I'm finding, and especially I've gotten even chatting with customers, the human touch, because it's being so rapidly removed from bigger companies, because they're like, great, you know what? We're feeling a lot of pressure. We don't have the 2021 COVID money situation where we, you know, it was a free for all. Let's be honest, it was a free for all. So the companies that have had to pull back on hiring, pull back on people, and have just kind of slapped AI on everything, it's not going well. It's not working well. We see the AI pullback. And so for us in particular, I know from talking to our customers, like, they are really surprised with how good our onboarding is, with how responsive we are, how easy it is to get a human. So when everybody's doing one thing, if you can kind of lean into, again, the core tenets of being a great partner, being accessible, actually solving problems, being in it with a customer and not just trying to pawn them off and be like, well, this isn't our problem, it's somebody else's, and oh, I'm going to give you a bot to talk to. I mean, what you can stand out by just sort of doing the basics well.
Right. Like, going back to those fundamentals, all of a sudden becomes a premium experience that people notice and are maybe willing to pay for.
You got it.
So one of the things that I am also worried about with this, I'm an early adopter, right? So I've been, like, in love with AI for much longer than the general public.
Yeah.
But one of my biggest concerns is that exactly what you're saying, is that AI is going to get this brand reputation of not being good enough. And in reality, I think you're right. Long term, it is going to get there. Short term, our aspirations for AI do not match its capabilities yet, right?
Correct.
Because how many people have you heard, and I'm sure your LinkedIn feed is the same, of, I'm going to replace, you know, 90% of my customer success team with AI agents. And that is probably the future. But there's a lot of fundamental foundational work that companies need to do. And just slapping AI on it means you are not going to be able to do that successfully, right? Your AI is only good as the things it knows about you and the data that you've given it and the way that you've trained your model. So if you aren't taking the time to do those fundamentals, as you said, not only with our relationships with our customers, but our relationships with our future AI coworkers, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, and it really, all of it comes back to foundationals and fundamentals, whether you're talking about person-to-person relationships or AI-to-person relationships.
I think it's been almost like the intention behind AI has just felt so obviously, I want to save money and get rid of people. And that's just not a great starting point. So I think that therein lies a bit of the problem. Plus, we're at the peak of the hype cycle. People are trying to put AI into stuff that doesn't make sense just to sort of, like, oh, I can save costs with this. I'm going to save costs with this. And, you know, I think the other thing is you just can't know the impacts. Like, when we think about like the start of the iPhone, who would have thought that that would turn it like where we are in social media, all of it? I mean, my husband, he owns a recruiting business, and I think he's heard recruiting is going away for the past 15 years. And what's funny is because AI generated resumes and AI generated responses from ATS applicant tracking systems, he's actually busier than he's been in a long time because like I have a, actually, and, you know, I have a role open right now and the last thing I want to do is post it. I just don't even want to deal with it. I'm like, somebody give me a referral. So I don't know if anybody thought that that would be an impact of necessarily of AI. So what I'm saying is I don't think that we know for sure how this is going to all play out. But if your intention is I just want to save money and replace people as fast as humanly possible, I just don't think that's going to work, especially not where we are today, at least.
And I think that is a lot of the telegraphed intent and outright intent. Like, how many people did we hear just, oh, we just laid off thousands of people because, you know, we've implemented AI, or, oh, we're going on a hiring freeze because, you know, AI is going to do this thing. And I do think there's going to be some of that where AI is going to take some of our jobs.
Sure.
That's naive not to assume that that's about to happen. But your point is so well taken. Like, the idea of what used to be the thing you would do because it was scalable, like post a job rec, and to take in interviews and to have conversations and try to find the best candidate, if now just something that feels like you are just putting your phone number out there for the telemarketer scammers to call you all the time, and that's like the equivalent. Because think of how many garbage resumes you're going to get or applications you're going to get. I mean, I'm a small company, and if I put on a job posting, I am guaranteed to get hundreds of garbage applications. And I can't even imagine like a big name brand who everybody's looking for that job and wants that job. So if we're hearing this, and you and I are kind of in wild agreement that, you know, this fundamental person-to-person relationship that I think you mentioned in the beginning, that your onboarding is great because you're a great partner and you're accessible and we don't just hand you off to a bot. If we're in wild agreement here, why does it seem to be that all the conversation is about slap AI on it and hope for the best, or slap AI on it and just, you know, do it to say we did? Like, why are people not thinking to themselves, this is my chance to create a premium human experience?
I think there's a lot of pressure, especially if you are a startup. And, you know, I think everybody's got investors and there is this perception, I think, that everybody else has figured this out and has replaced a bunch of people with AI and has replaced their support team entirely with AI, and I'm behind because I haven't. And what we're finding is that's actually not the case. And even the comment you just made that companies are replacing people with AI, that's actually not happening really yet. I think to your point, we probably will get there, but I also don't think we know really what this is going to look like or how it's going to shake out. I don't think we know yet. What's happening is AI is extremely expensive and companies are having to fund AI. And yes, they are eliminating some headcount to do that. But there isn't many companies where human beings have been successfully replaced with AI yet. So I think that there is this weird pressure, and I feel it too, of like, did everybody else figure this out and replace all their people with AI? And I'm the only one that hasn't done it yet. Because you probably see the same LinkedIn post. Like, I replaced my entire SDR team with this like tool. Like, no, you didn't. You just didn't.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm getting SDR posts in my LinkedIn inbox that are congratulating me on being a man in business. And guys, spoiler alert, I am a woman. and it's not even like questionable in my profile. Like, you can see my picture and everything.
Yeah. I still get like really terrible out. Like, I'm like, well, there's lots of stuff that AI has not figured out. I'll tell you that. So I think that, you know, I've always been somebody who, I don't know if I've always been somebody, or at least I'm just getting this way as I've gotten older, where I'm getting more confident in like the, I don't know, confident in the way that I think and my experiences. And I've been around long enough where I'm like, I don't want to fall for a fad and piss off a bunch of customers because this thing isn't ready yet. So for me, I think it's what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing from my customers is they're dying for something else because they can't get to a person. And guess what? That bot isn't helping them. Or they want to just, you know, again, call somebody, work with somebody on their onboarding, help, like really find a partner that can help them solve their, we're in cybersecurity. Like, this is a very complex ecosystem. It's really hard to understand. what you
and critical
to
too.
And critical.
And critical, right?
What you need to buy, what you need to have, what's a comprehensive security solution. So they're looking for that partnership. And, you know, if you can provide that and provide some human interaction at a relatively, you know, so it's easy for the customer to get somebody, I mean, what a competitive advantage. And it's just not that hard to do.
You know, one thing I would love to get your reaction to is one of the things that I'm hearing, and that's one of the fun parts about doing this show. I've done almost 75 episodes now. So I've heard 100 different hot takes in those episodes. And so some people are saying, okay, lead with a human experience. Some people are saying lead with a digital experience. One thing that came to mind as you were talking is maybe it's actually, if we want to lead with a customer experience, right, as we all do, maybe it's about customer choice and the ability to create an experience where our customers have the choice to interface with an AI and have the choice to quickly transition to a human if they are in that situation. Because there's times where I got to be honest with you, I don't want to talk to a real person. I know my answer is going to come faster from an AI or a bot. Or, you know, like recently I've started using ChatGPT for like product support and be like, go read the documentation for this product and tell me why I can't do this thing I want to do. And so how can we look at the customer centricity of it? And rather than try to predict the future, maybe let them choose.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And what I don't want to portray myself as somebody who's like anti-AI here, I'm not. We actually, we have that, you know, we have documentation, we have a bot in it. I think it is, what I'm saying is this move to like, I want to replace everybody right now because I can save money and I don't care. But that's what I'm experiencing, at least from what our customers are saying. They can't access a human anymore, those kinds of things. However, augmenting your human beings with AI completely makes sense, you know, because again, we're selling to a lot of like IT, like their first instinct isn't to like, I want to call a person for sure. So, you know, a lot of times they do want to read documentation. They do want to look through stuff, want to ask a chatbot quickly, like, hey, where is this resource? So we have that available completely. So I think it is like, it's the intentionality and the how you're bringing this new technology into your business. And yeah, you're exactly right. Letting the customer choose how they want to interact with you.
So if I'm hearing this and I am trying to make a decision about when to bring AI into the process and when to keep it centralized with a more human approach, how, like, are there any frameworks or guardrails or things I can ask myself that help me decide, okay, yes, this is a point where AI belongs, or no, we really need to keep this process as human as possible for this particular situation? How do I decide?
I think for us, we sell a very technical product. And one of the, you know, things about it, especially from an onboarding perspective, is everybody's environment is different. Every customer environment is a little bit different. It is going to be really hard to automate every permutation of a customer environment. Like, and so for us, like, I don't see a possibility that that can be automated. However, there are certain aspects of every customer journey that are the same. Like, just as an example, you know, creating a support account, all those things. We're like, okay, that can be an AI, that can be a video. Like, that doesn't, the things that are just the repetitive, over and over, same for every customer, those feel like the obvious ways in which, you know, to implement AI now.
You know, it is interesting too, because I hear from a lot of companies, a lot of this conversation has been centered around how AI is going to make us money. I had a guest on the show. She was one of my very first guests a while ago. And she said something like, there's really only three types of companies out there. There's the product-centric company who's trying to build something they truly love. That would be Apple, for example. They love their product, right? There's the operations-centric company, and that is always trying to maximize their efficiency, you know, improve their bottom line and all of that. And then there's the customer-centric company, the one who makes every decision based on what is the best outcome for the customer. And a lot of us like to put ourselves in that customer centricity category. But if you are dumping people for the sake of operational efficiency, like if you're dropping people from your team for that purpose, and you haven't asked yourself, is this in the best interest of my customer? Then you're an operation-centric company. And that's okay. You could own that. But you have to, like, if you want to be a customer-centric company, you can't do things that are going to negatively impact your customer, even if it would improve your operational efficiency.
Wild agreement.
I love that. That's my phrase of the day, apparently, is wild agreement.
So, I love it. I'm stealing it from Rihanna when you said always.
It's usually wild disagreement. So I'm like, you know, let's be in wild agreement instead. This is very antithesis to our entire culture, but that's what we're going to do. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, what are the things that we need to be thinking about if we're going to go down this road of great human experience, if we want a great onboarding, if we want to be a great partner, what are the characteristics of that relationship and how can we kind of set our North Star to shoot for that?
One of the things that I feel like since I started in customer experience, I think companies can often make this, it sounds really silly because it is about the customer. It's literally called customer experience, but we make it about ourselves and our processes, our systems, our tools, the information that we want to get out of the customer so we can build this, so we can do that, so we can, like, sometimes, and this is just like the God's honest truth, the customer doesn't want to talk to you about whatever thing. Like, I think about my interaction with my own tools and everything. Sometimes, even if I love the CS person, I have my own pressure, whatever. I don't want to give a testimonial right now. I don't want to talk about my business goals. I don't have budget right now. You know, like, it's having the emotional intelligence and the empathy to meet somebody where they are and to also design your system, tools, processes that work for the customer. I think so often, and I actually interacted with this weekend where, like, I was dealing with the person who was saying, like, well, our system doesn't function that way. I'm like, well, that's a you problem, not a me problem. Like, I'm the customer. I'm the one that's paying. So
right.
I think we so often still make it about ourselves and our company where it really is about the customer. And I understand that sometimes, like, I'm not going to have the customer's roadmap and the details about their life and all these things. Cause guess what? They haven't really said that information to me and I'm not going to push them for it because they're having a bad quarter or whatever. So I think leading with truly the customer experience versus how you want the customer to experience your company and fit into your system, tools, rules, and information that you want it sounds simple, but I just have found that to be not common practice.
It's actually really hard to do, right? And it requires you to have a certain level. I love that you mentioned EQ, because I think that's something that a lot of people are discounting in this digital remote. I mean, like, we're talking, you know, multiple states away via a web conferencing system, right? Yep. But we still have to figure out how do we, when we never meet this person in person, we never shake their hand, we never have a real conversation that isn't tactical, how do we create that empathetic kind of muscle memory? Because you're right. If I am only designing my onboarding to serve my purpose, which is getting through my process, if I'm only dividing my review process to make sure that I get a renewal, then I'm not really thinking about it customer-centrically. If it's all me, and not you.
Yep. And it's leading from, I think, being like one human being to another versus I am an employee of this company and you're an employee of that company. I think a lot of, and maybe it was Brené Brown, somebody talked about, like, you know, taking off the mask and the roles that we're in, you know, like, stop, for like, you're not a customer experience person right now. You are a human being talking to another human being. Like, start there. So I think that, and I also think that, like, part of it too, we've really made an effort to meet some customers in person. Like, I'm just met a customer in Florida. Our CEO is going to meeting customers. And that is making a huge difference as well. So not losing sight of, like, that still is an option. And even though it's kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit, like, we still are human beings who want to interact in person. So I think there's still value there.
And again, kind of back to the central theme of this conversation, going back to fundamentals, that people buy products from people, and I might interact with an AI or a website or a non-human resource to make a decision, but at the end of the day, some human being is signing on the dotted line.
Yep, that's right. And it's picking your own adventure, to your point. You know, I think it's frustrating when it's like, I want to interact with the AI and ask it a bunch of questions, and then I get stuck and now I can't ever find a person. Like, that's a problem. However, the point you made, like, if I can pick my own adventure and I'm interacting with this chatbot, and then guess what? I do want to talk to somebody. That's like pretty easy for me to do. That to me is like at least the start of, you know, really being customer centric on like, I'm not forcing you to talk to an AI because I don't want to pay for a person.
Exactly. Speaking of, you know, like listening to other people, considering all the people that you know or aspire to know, who else should we be listening to?
You know, I have given this, I have to like, I'm going to send this author, like these podcasts on that I keep talking about him, but I am like the biggest, I am the biggest Cal Newport fan. I don't know if you're familiar with like deep work, digital minimalism. He has just really had me thinking through, he does a lot on AI and especially kind of like, he's a computer scientist. So between the hype and what's real and what's not and where this is going, which has been very helpful for me, because, you know, I hardly think I'm the only person who's doom spiraled that, like, you know, this is going to take everything over in 5 minutes. So he's been helpful in that way. And also just how I interact with social media tools, what it really means to be a leader, how to interact in this new world that doesn't leave me feeling, you know, depleted and ineffective and have done a lot of meaningless work and not really moved the ball. I think that that's sort of the default now, where we're just all responding all day long to Slack messages or, you know. So for me, just his podcast and books have been incredibly helpful.
And if someone is hearing this and they're really connecting with you, where can they find you online?
Best place would be LinkedIn.
Awesome.
I'm hiring too. So if anybody's looking for a customer experience role, definitely hit me up.
Well, we already said we don't want to just have generic at AI resume. So make sure that you send her something really thoughtful. Reference this podcast. Then she'll know that you have an insight into what she's thinking. I will definitely put your link to your profile in our show notes. But thank you so much for coming on the Growth Signal. This was a really interesting conversation and a really unique take.
Awesome. Great to meet you.